time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Rob Ray with Schoep and the Bulldog. Rob Ray's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Steve Foley Law, settle for more today. Settle for more with Steve Foley. Call 249-2222.
And joining us now, live from Winnipeg, is our friend Rob Ray. Hi, Rob.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Pretty good. Have you started listening to Christmas music yet?
No. No, I heard it the other morning, taking my daughter to school and the station that she likes to listen to, and I'm like, are you serious right now? And she's like, what? And I'm like, it's not even Thanksgiving. Like, it's too early.
It's too early?
If only there were
more Thanksgiving music, then it would all work itself out.
You're going to ease your way into it.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
There is some Halloween music. Then
you
right
know,
to Christmas.
The thing is, by the time Christmas rolls around, you're so sick of it. You know, wasn't it back in the day you used to sit around and Christmas Eve you play the music, Christmas Day you play the music, and you enjoyed it? Now, it gets to that point, it's like you just want to claw your ears off because you're sick of hearing so much of it.
It's that bad.
I know I do get in the mood to listen to it on Christmas Eve, and
yeah,
really not before that. I don't ever think, like, boy, I'd really love to hear, just pick a song. The first Noel. I'm not dying to hear anything before, but Christmas Eve, wrapping presents. Oh. All right. Like, I'm going to hang out, and I'm going to put on some Christmas music, and, like, I'm good with that. And then driving, usually we go to my mom's house. So driving over there, I'll have a Christmas music on the radio on the way there, on the way home from there, and then that's the end of Christmas music for me. I got, like, a six-hour Christmas music window, I think.
We are listening every day in
really?
The mornings.
Wow.
In the mornings to get ready for school. Christmas yeah. music wakes the kids up. That's what I go to. 7:30, time to get up. There it is, Kelly Clarkson. Let's go. All right, Rob. Thanks for being on.
No, thanks for calling me. I was busy. I just needed a break here just to sit down and relax and think about a few things.
You were busy. What pray tell were you doing in Winnipeg?
Trying to stay warm.
Makes sense. So let's talk about Tuesday's game a little bit. We circled it, sort of, as a game that might tell us something about the Sabres. They did win. Tampa had most of the play, but they're probably saying, so what? How good do you feel about them in terms of that game?
No, you're right. Tampa kind of came at them, had a lot of pressure, but I think if you're going to take something out of it other than a win, is they didn't break. They didn't break for being under as much pressure as they were for, long periods of time, and Tampa just came in waves, and they came with a lot of speed. But, they found ways of, stifling them, whether it was the goaltender or, guys making some plays. That I think that, you could walk away from that. Okay, that was a learning experience for them. But on the other hand, they did not break and allow Tampa to, overcome them. And I think that, internally, I think the guys in the room would think, okay, they would know. They know that, they're not going to win every game playing like that. But I think the more it happens to them and the more times they have success doing it, then I think it's a learning experience for them, and it's only going to help them as things go on.
As I looked at that game, Rob, not that it matters a lot now. It was a few days ago now. But I thought the second was really rocky. I thought they were really on the ropes in the second. The third, I think they got, like, territorially outplayed, but it didn't feel as dangerous. I thought it was more a better job of the Sabres just sort of protecting a lead, whereas the second, it felt like it was all hell was breaking loose.
Yeah, and I think by doing that, kind of weathering that storm a little bit, it helped them as they rolled into the third. But, don't get away from Tampa had some very good opportunities to score and hit two or three posts and things like that. But you know what? When things are going good and you're playing the right way, those breaks are going to come your way sometimes. And I think that was a case where it did. And I just still think the more success you can have, against teams like that, then it's obviously got to help you, and it's going to help you. That them walking away from it, I don't think they're looking at it as, oh, we we escaped there with 2 points and, you know, this and that. I think they walk away from it going, okay, it might not have been pretty, but we were able to play with big boys, too, once again, and, you know, just keep pushing along.
Rob, how about Oposo's role on this team? We know the backstory on him, the big contract, then he had, you know, some issues and seemed to have gotten through that, as far as I know anyway, on the outside. And he scored a couple of big goals for them. You know, he's not playing on the top line or anything. I don't know. I don't mean to be saying all the things. What do you see being closer to the team? What do you see his value as?
I think that, you know, when he came here, you were looking at as a guy that was going to put numbers on the board and he was a go-to guy and he was going to play in all the crucial situations, all that kind of stuff, as a star player would be. I think that, you know, as he's progressed here, his role has definitely changed. You know, it's a leadership role. It's a filling in role of where he needs to do. I think that he's a guy that, you know, kind of leads by example. He can fit into any position, any role for, you know, a period of time. I think that guys look at him as like a bull out there that just doesn't stop going, and he has a knack for, you know, creating things when he can. I know he's a very well-respected guy, and when he's going or when he has success, it means an awful lot to the guys in the room. But overall, you know, I just think it's the leadership he brings and the example he brings on the ice. And, you know, we've seen it numerous times this year when things weren't good. You know, who came up with that goal? Kyle Poso. And, you know, not always leaning on him for offense every night, but in crucial situations, I think you can turn to him and say, hey, you're going to get your greatest effort out of this guy if you put him in that situation, and I think they do lean on him.
Do you think we're at a point now, you've still got like this young core on this team, Oposo, older guy wearing a letter, Bogosian, a little older guy wearing a letter. Do you think that it felt, and you can tell us if this is right or wrong here, like there was a gap between like Gianta leading Eichel, and it just didn't seem like it really meshed. And maybe that was even here while O'Reilly was here and Gianta was gone last year. But I'm wondering if like the young and the old are sort of intertwined and fitting together as one a little bit better this year.
Yeah, and I think that you have to make sure when you have that older guy there that it's not the older guy that, you know, is trying to hang on and kind of worrying about himself at the end. And, you know, not so much having the time or nor care to, you know, worry so much about the young kid. You know, in guys' situations, say Bogo and Oposo in this right now, these guys are not at the end of their career. They're not at the end of their contracts. They're not fighting from themselves and being a little greedy, saying, hey, I got to worry about myself other than these guys. So they're still willing to put that effort into the young guy. They're still willing to go that extra mile, work with them a little bit, you know, push them, do all the things they have to do. Sometimes you get an older guy that feels like he's the one being pushed out the door for the young guy. And it's like, hey, I'm asking you to groom this young kid to step in, be a leader, and pretty much take your role as you're going out the door. And not everybody can do that. Not everybody's willing to do that. So, you know, I think it's a much better situation when those guys aren't at the end and trying to fight to stay alive. These guys don't have to fight. They're not fighting to stay alive. Kyle Poso knows he's going to play for a couple more years in this league and continue after that probably. So he's willing to do it, and then they are doing it. Bogo's the same thing. They understand it, and they're willing to do it. Not everybody's willing to do it.
Yeah, they have their contracts.
they
know they're, right. You know, in a certain way anyway, pretty safe. Rob Ray with us on the West Hur Hotline from Winnipeg. 7 o'clock pregame tonight for the Sabres and the Jets. You know, we talk a lot about, or I hear Phil Housley do it. I hear a lot of fans do it, talk about how, so this year the team is a little better, and so therefore it's a little happier. Maybe a little bit more, you know, there's more energy, maybe more effort. And I don't know what comes first or what to do with that. And, you know, it would have to be true the other way around then, that like in recent years the team started poorly and then just got really lazy or whatever, lack for belief. What about from like your playing days, Rob? Can you, when you think about that, do you draw on experiences you had as a player and like maybe you had a team, I don't know, like the Nolan team or something where expectations were low and then you guys were better? And do guys sort of, you know, change when that happens?
Well, I think you could even look back to say '99. We weren't a team that people would look at to say that they're a great playoff team or they're a great team that's got a good run to do something possibly in the playoffs. I think that when things are going good and we got things going good at that point that year, that it raises everybody's level up and it kind of you get a little more of a strut and chest out and you feel like you're invincible and whatever you're doing is right and you're never going to make a mistake. And as a group, as long as, and everybody's happening at the same time, then, it's pretty hard to take that away from a group, actually. It's hard to get, but it's something that it could go away quick. But in this case, I think that when you're bad and everything's going bad, then you don't practice well, the attitude's wrong. It's hard to gain any type of momentum. When things are good, then it just seems like everything else is coming easier. Practice better, you communicate more, you're more excited, so you're looking forward to getting to the rink every day, and, you're willing to go that extra mile to do that extra workout or do the extra skating or put the extra work in after practice to get that much better. It just makes it so much easier. Yeah, you notice a difference in these guys around here now. They walk around, their heads up, they're smiling, they're having fun. You're seeing group. We went to dinner last night, and there was, at one point, the restaurant we came in, there was about nine of them that came walk through all together. In the past, you're not seeing that. Mm-hmm. In the past, you'd see two or three guys maybe just going doing their own thing. And, it was actually good to see that, that many of them were hanging out together and talking and doing whatever, getting to know each other, and I think that's the important thing.
That sounds like a positive. Nobody would think it isn't. I was talking to the UB men's basketball coach the other day, Nate Oates. This podcast is now up. Mike Schopen Conversation. You can find it at WGR550.com or radio.com. And I was talking to him about this, and he has a lot of experience observing and being around NBA teams, and that's for different reasons. And he said, look, some teams go out, everybody goes out together, and some teams, they get off the plane and everybody goes different directions, and either can work. But you'd ideally like to have guys that, are close. So, I mean, that sounds like a good thing.
Well, when you talk about bringing in young guys, you bring in a couple each year, whatever it may be, and they're all within a very close age group that they come up and they grow up together. You talk about how important it is for them to play in the minors together to get to know each other. And yeah, I think that, I've been on teams where guys hated each other, but they came to work and, they played like crazy on the ice. They walked away from the game and, they went their own directions. And then I had other guys, other teams.
Uh-oh.
That didn't sound good. That was abrupt. That wasn't even like any sort of fading or anything. Like that just fell apart.
Wow.
Just bang. That's all right. We'll get it sorted
out. And I just did the plug, so I can't do that again. I put the plug into the question.
I think, we'll get Rob back on here in just a second to sort of reestablish that. But I think it can work any way you want. There's no question. But like, I think the good thing about a bunch of guys being together, whether it's like, in this case, almost half of the team being out at dinner together, is whether they all end up being really, really good friends, you're hearing each other and listening and getting to know one another in a way that I think can't help but draw you closer. Like, at least if you like can find some level of respect for a guy and just feel like better about him being like, I really like that about this guy, or I didn't know this about his backstory, or whatever it is. I think you can get to a better place where guys are maybe, working a little more for one another because they care about one another in a way that eludes you if you are going 20 different ways when you get off the airplane. Rob's back on the line with us.
How many different ways are there to go off the airplane in Winnipeg?
Right.
Has it got to factor that in?
There's
only one way.
Right. And the bad thing here is it's such a long walk from that plane to you go inside to clear customs as well. And they only let two or three off at a time. And, yeah, it's a long, cold process.
That used to be a trip that you guys really looked forward to back in the day, didn't it? Winnipeg?
Yeah. There used to be a great place here called the Palomino Club that you just couldn't wait to get to until after the game. So kind of made you kind of step up your game a little bit there just to make sure you were able to get out.
Palomino Club even sounds like a good time. Like, I've never been there, but there's no way that place doesn't rule.
You feel like if it's named the Palomino Club, it has to be fun.
In Winnipeg?
Anywhere.
Yes.
Yep.
Almost anywhere, but for some reason, especially in Winnipeg, like, I just feel like that is, you're really getting after
Did
it.
Did you ever meet Palomino?
No, I met El Guapo, though.
You did. I don't know if I want to ask about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you that one sometime.
Okay.
All right, so Rodriguez, I believe it's been reported, is coming out tonight, Rob. Is that right?
Yeah, Rodriguez is out, and Berglund is going in.
What do you think of Rodriguez?
The
numbers are pretty good. Like, the possession stuff kind of reveals that the Sabres are better when he's out there a lot.
How is his turnover stuff? A lot of turnovers with this guy.
Okay. Well, that would be...
He skates well. He reads the play well. Don't get me wrong here. I think he's effective. I just think that there's things in his game that he should clean up. And I think that, when he's coming out, he's coming out for reasons where in a game, say tonight, that if you're going to turn the puck over, it could severely cost you. And, by putting Berglund in, maybe a little more responsible defensively and managing the puck maybe that little bit better. But he can do some amazing things, and he's got a great shot. He's got some nice hands. But I think that he just sometimes tries to do a little too much maybe. A lot of no-look, around-the-back passes in kind of a hope play that somebody's going to be there. He's putting it into an area, and, a lot of the times he's turning over the puck that way. I think if he cleaned that kind of thing up, which should be pretty easy to do, that, I think responsibly, they could look at him and go, okay, he's not a liability in any way that, when you put him out there. But killing a penalty, I think he does a fantastic job. He's done a decent job in the faceoff circle so far this year. So, yeah, I think that he's also a guy that sometimes it might be good just to give him that little bit of time to sit back and maybe put a little spark under him again and see what's going on and then put him back in the lineup. I think you get a little more out of him.
He's a guy that with Larson and Gergensen's, like 4 out of 5 of their zone starts are in the defensive zone.
Right.
So if their possession numbers are around 50% and all three of those guys have that, then that would look good on the group that they're all able to do that, hold their own if they're starting most of their shifts in their own end.
But also, too, you got to get, in cases like tonight, you've got to get Berglund and these guys back in. You can't let them sit for long. You got to make sure you're moving guys in and out and keeping them fresh and, giving them a chance to play. You can't sit guys long now because the pace of this game is so fast that you sit for a couple days or a couple games, then, it's going to catch up to you.
One player I don't think we've mentioned at all in our visits here through the early part of the season, Rob, is Connor Sherry. Skinner obviously is getting the headlines as the big offseason goal scoring acquisition, and that's deserved. He's leading the team in scoring with 13 goals and 20 points. Sherry's got, half of that, 6-4 is where he is on the year, 6 goals, 4 assists. I feel like, though, speed-wise, that's a big upgrade. And, 6 goals through 18 games is, not setting the world on fire, but it's nice. And I think he's been a really helpful add.
Yeah, 3 of those goals are on the power play, too, and early in the year. I think what he does, he's another threat that you've got on, your second line or whatever, that he's got speed, he's got a good shot, he's willing to go to those areas, the same as Skinner. He battles well, but offensively he can make things happen pretty nice, and it kind of gets people backed off a little bit. So, Kitty... Could sometimes you look at it, maybe him do maybe a little more? Yeah, I think that a lot of times he's a little different than Skinner. I think Skinner is a little more sturdy on his feet. He doesn't get knocked down quite as much as what Sherry may. But, in the big picture, I think just by having that extra threat on that second line where a guy or on your second power play that, they can put the puck in the net, it's good. And I think by... Maybe him just being a little quiet and people kind of forget about him, and then he's allowed to go just kind of do his job and play that game. In too many cases, you're going to go in and everybody's going to concentrate on Skinner and Jack now, and sometimes they overlook the others. Like here, even Line A is gonna, he plays on their second, third, and he's even been on their fourth line, where you know they can, they have that enough that they can spread it out, and you just kind of lose those guys within your lineup, and that's how they become effective, because you're playing against the lesser lineup and lesser players sometime, and you can take advantage of it.
This is a really fun team to watch, this Winnipeg team, Rob. I don't know if you get a chance to see them that often, you know, running around traveling with the Sabres, but boy, they there's a lot of speed, a lot of depth, and just a lot of talent there.
Yeah, they like to score in the rush. You know, they're not a team that's going to work your depth down low once you get in the zone. They want to score as they're coming up through the ice. You know, they've had some trouble lately, just talking to them, that, you know, the way teams are forechecking them to slow them down, which is taking away that speed and flow they're getting through the neutral zone. So they've had to kind of address that a little bit. But they're a physical team, too. They can throw the body around. They got Big Bufflin back there. He's a very physical force on the back end. And, yeah, it's a very exciting team. It's a quick team that moves the puck quick. And they got some guys like Wheeler and that are, you know, superb dish guys that are going to move the puck, but, you know, big as well and can skate. And, yeah, as long as their goaltending stays up with them, then they do all right.
Quick turnaround, 6 o'clock our time tomorrow in Minnesota with the customs and everything. Could be a long night for you.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be. Yeah, no matter what, it's always, especially even from, it's probably a 20-minute, half-hour drive from the airport to the hotel tonight when you get into Minnesota. So, you know, the sometimes getting to the rink or to the airport takes a lot longer than the flight in between destinations. So, yeah, it can be, but say test is on. It's a good thing. They get in and out, get out, and it's cold there, so we don't want to stay there long.
How much coffee will you drink, and when?
You got to be careful. You got to be careful, because if you drink too much tonight, then you're not going to sleep, and then you're going to be kind of dragging it tomorrow. So
that
happens. Kind of spread it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. All right,
but
guess,
a lot. But I would have to say a lot.
I guess it's Dan Dunleavy on the call with you on this trip.
Dan Dunleavy, yes, he is. He is here with us tonight and doing the next three games.
Very good. Thank you, Rob.
And
we'll talk.
Paul's here too, and little Pat Malcaro's here.
Little Pat Malcaro.
Okay. For another time. We will talk to you Monday.
You got to ask, because we went to dinner last night, and there is a story from that, and I'll tell you sometime.
All right, maybe Monday.
Maybe Monday, Rob. Man.
Thank you.
Okay.
Very good. There he goes.
Rob Ray on the Western Hotline from Winnipeg. His appearance brought to you by Jim's Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Steve Foley Law. Settle for more today. Settle for more with Steve Foley. Call 249-2222.